T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Matt Bowen.
Two throws. This one aired out for Galloway. And with contact, it's picked off. Intercepted by Matt Bowen.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
The ball came out. Right now they're calling fumble. Matt Bowen knocked it out.
Seven-year NFL veteran.
We always joke with you about where you were selected in the draft. Is it weird for you to see Tom Brady out there?
We were watching Tom Brady. My youngest boy, Ronnie, said, well, why aren't you still playing? I said, well...
Defensive back coach for IC Catholic football.
One of the greatest things and most rewarding things about being a high school coach is to see the impact it can have on your student athletes.
Matt Bowen with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let Matt Bowen talk. Shut up.
We are going to do that right now. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. It's the Bernstein and Holmes show. Lawrence and Groats hanging out here with you until 2 o'clock. Matt, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
What's going on, guys? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours as well, Matt. Before we get to Justin Fields and tape breakdown, I wanted to make sure that we had time for this. Congratulations on IC Catholic moving on to the state final this weekend down in Champaign. Congratulations.
Well, I appreciate that, Lawrence. Last week was big for us. You know, we played Byron, the team that knocked us out of the state playoffs last year in the semifinals. So for us to come out, execute the game plan, and stop a very challenging offense. You know, Byron is big up front. They run the old school wing tee. It takes a lot of discipline from a defensive perspective. We are so proud of how our players executed in that game. And now to have a chance to go back down to Champaign, I mean, that's what you play for, right? And the kids get to play on a big stage in a Big Ten stadium, statewide TV audience. I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
It's kind of wild that you have two NFL safeties on the coaching staffs of the two teams. Sean Considine coaches Byron, and obviously you're at IC Catholic.
I know, and Sean and I talk a lot in the offseason, and then it gets pretty competitive on game day. There's not a lot of things said. You know, Sean played at Iowa, too. So Sean played at Iowa after I graduated. He was a great player for Iowa and some Big Ten title teams. And so we talk a lot in the offseason, talk about common opponents, just what we're doing. Obviously, we talk about Iowa football. But on game day, it's pretty brief. That's how it should be, right? You're competitive. But after the game, you know, we shake hands, we talk a little bit. And I told them, just like I said last year, I said, I'll see you next November. Because every year when we go in the state playoffs, that is one of the toughest teams to play against. And we always run into them in that 3A North bracket.
That's fantastic. All right, Matt, what did you see with Justin Fields in Atlanta that was progress or that was good out of him?
Okay. I think the first thing is the touchdown throw to Darnell Mooney, which is good for everyone on that football team, players and coaching staff. And what they did is they played for man coverage. They got man coverage, right? And that is what I call pick concept, because you're creating conflict for both defenders trying to get someone loose versus man coverage. You run an inside release with the outside receiver that allows Mooney, who gets free access off the ball, not jammed, to wrap around and run the fade route. And that's excellent execution, excellent call. The throw from Justin Fields was perfect. I love the route structure from Mooney. And I love that he took advantage of – and I would be curious to know if this is based on offensive and defensive tendencies – because in that play, guys, when you're playing man coverage, you never want two defensive backs at the same level, right? Because that allows you to get picked. You have to play on different levels. And they didn't. They played at the same level. So everything's set up for them. It was a great call, great execution. an explosive play in the passing game, which we need to see more of. I like that a lot. And I think there's other plays in that game. Now, look, the ball he threw up the sideline to David Montgomery was a big-time throw, right? It's a big-time throw. And that is a shot play. So that is max protection. Montgomery's going to leak out to the flat. It turns into a wheel because it becomes a second reaction play. I'm wondering on that play, though. If you go back and watch on the tape, did he have an opportunity to cut it loose to Darnell Mooney down the field? I would love to be in that quarterback room when they watch the tape because that's the one-on-one vertical you want down the field. Okay, so Justin doesn't take it. That happens. That's football. What does he do? He extends the pocket, gets outside, throws an excellent pass up the boundary. You always have to talk about what Justin can do as a runner because that is a big part of this offense, a big part of his game as an NFL quarterback at this stage of his development. And I think there's times, if you look in the tape, not calling the design runs. The design runs will always be a part of this offensive package. I think you want to, you know, cut it, though, around 7 or 8. That's about as far as I would go in terms of the volume for him as a runner. But I think he ended up, guys, with, 18 rushing attempts?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big number. That's a big number because, Lawrence, we've talked about this all season. You want Justin, when he has an opportunity on a scramble attempt to pick up the sticks and make a play to do it. But there's times in that tape where, again, you watch and you say, if he just moves up a little bit, if he just starts commanding the pocket a little bit more, make that space his, right? That's what you want with him as he progresses throughout this season is make that your own space where you own that area of the field, that you do get edge pressure, you step up. When you do get interior pressure, you slide, but you stay in that area. And there's times in that tape, I'm sure, when they watched it on Monday, coaching staff said, look, that route's going to come open. Just give it a little bit more time instead of pulling down and running the football. And again, that's the process of live game reps for Justin Fields, playing on Sundays, playing against different looks every Sunday with different defensive coordinators that will be part of his progression. But overall, throughout the whole game, you're talking about him running the football, throwing the football, making some plays to the pocket, getting to the edge of the pocket. Again, you're seeing the progress you want from him at this stage of the season.
What did Dean Pease throw at Justin Fields?
I think at times they threw some match coverages at him. Obviously, they did pressures as well. And the thing that I think the Bears struggled with up front were twist stunts. Okay, and what a twist stunt is, to break it down, is when you have two defensive linemen, you know, a defensive end and a defensive tackle, and they twist. One guy goes outside, another guy wraps or loops around. The Bears had trouble picking that up. Two of the sacks that Atlanta had, those were twist stunts that were not picked up by the offensive line. And you can say, well, the quarterback's got to get the football out. No, you have to block that. You have to pick that up. You have to identify. You have to know the defensive coordinator you're playing against. You have to block that up and give your quarterback time to throw the football. But the match coverage, go to the final play of the game, right, when he threw the interception. That is zone coverage. It looks like zone. You're showing zone pre-snap. But what it turns into really is man match. And that's what most zone coverages are right now in the NFL. You're not just spot dropping. You know, I call them chalkboard defenses. You drop cover three in a chalkboard. It looks great. But NFL quarterbacks can find those windows. If you stay in that all day, you're going to give up 400 yards passing in this league. So what they're doing is they're matching. Almost like, Lawrence, think about basketball. Matchup zone in basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's someone in your area, you're going to guard them. And it's not just – I mean, you're almost playing man on him, right? It's the same thing in the NFL. And then that last play, the Bears have what I call double smash over. The two outside guys run quick in routes. I think it was Komet on the deep over route. And they took it away because it looked like zone. And against zone, that throw should be there. And guess what? It wasn't because they matched up in that situation and took it away. And it got late in the down. And you know, and Justin made a mistake with the football.
Is that the best blueprint yet defensively in trying to stop or slow, because they certainly didn't stop him, but slow right. Justin Fields. Now, like, will teams use that, or was that just one of many ways to stop a quarterback that does what he does?
Well, I think what you're talking about there, Grote, is what they did also in the run game. You know, the Bears are a heavy zone read team, right? So they did some different things. You know, there's multiple ways to attack the zone read because it's just option football, just like playing in the veer. At the high school level, it just looks a little different than the pros. But what is your defensive end going to do? You know, that's the first thing. Is your defensive end going to attack the quarterback, or is he going to stay square and squeeze air, as I call it, and tighten down to the tackle to where he can slow play it and try to play both the dive and the quarterback? What Atlanta did early in that game, they took the defensive end and ran right at Justin Fields, right? We're going to force you to give the ball. I think you're going to see more of that from teams because – if you're going to slow play it, and Lawrence and I talked about this in the Miami game, there was times when Justin Fields, I don't know if he made the wrong read, but he just said, I can beat the defensive end. I'm going to pull the ball and go and get plus 15, plus 20 yards. So what teams are, I think, more likely to do is take that defensive end and run him right at the quarterback and force you to hand the ball off. Force you. Now, when you do that, that opens up some different things. So the defensive end now has the quarterback. The Mike linebacker has the dive or, you know, inside zone and zone read. So how do the Bears combat that? They run more power. Run more power. Run more quarterback sweep. More Q counter. Power read. GT counter. We pull the backside guard and tackle. That's the way to eliminate that. And say you're gonna come after our quarterback. We're going to pull a guard on you, or we're going to pull a tackle on you, kick you out, and create a running lane. That's what we're going to get up the field.
Talking Ball with Matt Bowen. We love breaking down the tape with him. We love talking with him about all sorts of stuff on the NFL level, including the Bears' opponent, the Jets, which we'll get to in a minute. How do you feel about the way that the Bears were able to kind of, maybe not so much as to the offense, but in the game, reinsert Velus Jones and make him a part of things again?
I think he has to be part of things, Lawrence. He has to. And you have to find ways to manufacture touches for him. I think that's the most important thing because of his skill set. I understand getting him back on special teams and being part of the return game, especially in the kick return game. I understand that. But you have to find ways to utilize him on offense. You know, backfield alignments, fly sweeps, wide receiver screens. Let him carry the ball out of the backfield. Put him, pre-snap movement in motion. Try to get him matchups. Get him free access off the ball. So he doesn't get hands on him from a defensive perspective. He can get him loose on underneath throws. Simple things to do, but I think he has to be a part of this offense because he has explosive traits. And that's why you drafted him based on the traits he has with the football. And because he's a returner, I'm telling you right now, it is very hard to return kicks in the NFL. It is extremely hard. You look for specific traits. One, you have to be fearless, right? You have to be fearless to return kicks where you can go get the ball no matter what. The other thing is you have elite ball carrier vision, and that's what he has. So put the football in his hands, Lawrence, and try to get him loose, and if you have to manufacture it, then you do.
Chase Claypool has been a source of anxiety for Bears fans. They want all of Chase, and I understand it. You gave up a second-round pick. What are you seeing with Chase Claypool? What's he doing?
Well, you have to understand, too, he just got here, what, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he didn't have OTAs, he didn't have minicamp, he didn't have training camp, didn't have preseason. So there's a lot to get caught up on. There's a ton to get caught up on. It's hard. I mean, I understand how they do it in the NBA and in Major League Baseball. I think that's a much easier transition in those sports. But in the game of football, considering how different the systems are, right, just how different the terminology is, you have to learn a new playbook. I mean, I've been there as a player, playing for four different teams and going through a coaching change in Washington. That takes a long time just to understand the alignment and assignment rules. I've always said alignment and assignment, that's just the cover charge to get on the field. You have to know that stuff. Mm. You have to. So you're trying to teach him, and I'm sure they're working, you know, extra hours to try to get him up to speed, but it still takes time. I said this to Lawrence before. I still believe in the player. I really do. I believe in what he has in terms of his physical profile and what he can bring to an NFL offense. But to expect him to go in and have 8 or 9 targets and 4 or 5 receptions a game and an explosive play, it's a lot to ask right now. Now, can you try to speed up that process like we were talking about just before with manufacturing touches? Sure, you can. Sure. Can you put him as the boundary X and say, look, we're going to take this matchup. They're man coverage every team. Or this week against the Jets, you know we can get down the field vertically against cover 2. Let's take a shot here. Those are ways to get him involved. But that's more, you know, game-specific. Or, you know, down and distance specific based on the flow of the football game you're in. But they're going to have to find ways, in my opinion, to get him the football because they just have to be more explosive. They have to. And I know the Bears are scoring points. I'm not saying they're not scoring points, but explosive plays change everything. They change the tempo of football games. They change how defenses start preparing for you for the rest of the football game. And he has that ability.
And they can't just depend on like, it's great what Justin Fields is doing, 62 and 67 yard touchdown runs, but they can't depend on him for all of their explosive plays. And it's almost essentially what they have done. And I know we've mentioned the Cole Kmet and the David Montgomery play as well, but they are really isolating Justin Fields and saying, we need you to do everything at this point. To your point, Matt, they need a lot more guys making plays out there.
Well, I agree. You can go to the last series of the football game.
Yeah. Yes, they were helpless. Right. They were helpless at that.
That was a situation where you wanted your quarterback to make plays for you, right? And we talk about the final play of the football game, but the first two plays, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, were quarterback runs, right?
Right.
On the
second
last
one was
year.
A mistake. The second one was supposed to be a halfback draw to David Montgomery. Right. So that was not the original play. But to your point, they were both run plays.
Right. And I understand, look, from a defensive perspective, you're on high alert in a two-minute drill for screen and draw. That's the first play, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even if you know it's coming, it's still a good call. You know, get a quick screen. Run a wide receiver screen. I mean, you know from that defense, especially a pass rush in a two-minute drill, they are going to be flying off the field, right? They're going to be flying off the ball because they want to end the game. They want to make a, you know, disruptive play and put the game away. So those are the times where you can use a Claypool on a wide receiver screen, that you can do some different things, not to take the ball out of Justin Fields' hands, but to get your offense going, get it a jump start. Now we pick up a quick 15 or a quick 20. Now we're rolling. And then we can get back to our offense.
Matt, I'm going to make you a Jet safety last week.
Okay.
All right? Your defense gave up 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
Your team is doing pretty well. You have a defensive-minded head coach. The reporters asked, which I thought was a leading question, to be fair, to Zach Wilson,
right,
whether or not you should apologize to the defense. He kind of flippantly says no. How does that play in the locker room?
There is an impact. Lawrence, there's no question about that. And I've always said, whether you're a high school quarterback, a college quarterback, or a pro quarterback, it doesn't matter if you're named a captain, but you are the captain, right? You are. You are the leader of the football team. You have to act like the leader of the football team at all times. And it's much easier to do, obviously, when you're winning games, when you're throwing touchdowns, when you're playing at an extremely high level. The tougher part, especially for young quarterbacks, is when adversity hits and things go south a little bit. And that's when you have to take responsibility and show the football character and show some remorse that you didn't play at a proper level to help them win that football game. And I think that's a situation that we saw with Zach Wilson last week. Now, I can tell you what you see on the tape. You know, he struggled. He plays frenetically at times. He struggles late in the down with his decision-making. He has missed throws or left plays in the field. He has to improve, but that – and like we're talking about with Justin Fields, there's going to be some down moments with young quarterbacks mm-hmm. that they have to improve and have to continue to play better. But in terms of the leadership, and this is about true football character, you have to have true football character in those moments. And you have to let your defensive players know, your special teams players know, that no matter the situation, I'm going to work to get better. I'm going to work to get better. When I don't play well, I'm going to put it on me. Because that's part of the responsibility of that job. It is a big job to have. And there's an incredible amount of pressure, especially at the NFL level, to play at a high level. When you don't, you have to own up to it. You have to show your teammates that you're going to improve. And you have to increase that production down the road. But the number one thing is to be an outstanding teammate and an outstanding leader. That doesn't change.
Sticking with the Jets, Matt, what is coming at the Bears? The Jets defense versus mm-hmm. the Bears offense, what has made the Jets defense so good this year?
One is their pass rush. They don't blitz a lot. I remember at the midway point of the season, I posted the blitz rates in social. The Jets were last. I think they blitzed at a rate of around 14.5%, which is extremely low, guys.
This is last year, you said?
No, this year.
Oh.
This year, middle of this year. They were the lowest blitz rate in the National Football League. That means bringing five or more rushers. So you have to start with the pass rush. A guy like Quinnen Williams. Look at his development. Look at his development. Yeah. Now, Quinnen Williams looks like the player you saw at Alabama, uh-huh. right? Someone that is not only a disruptor, a difference maker, can change the flow of games because of what he can do in both the run and the pass game, getting off the ball, making plays behind the line of scrimmage. They drafted Sauce Gardner, who, I'll tell you what now, he leads the NFL in 14 passes defensed. He's a 6'3 corner who moves like a 5'11 corner. Great lower body flexibility. He's a ball hawk. He's confident, competitive in coverage. And I think what they do, guys, from a coverage perspective, is very defined. Okay, I don't think they're very complex. They play a lot of quarters or two deep. They'll play some cover three. They'll play some man. They will man match, like we talked about, or zone match in those zone coverages, and they will lock the backside boundary player to play, you know, get their man technique in there. And what they do up front is very important. You have to remember Robert Saleh, what he did in San Francisco with that defensive line. A lot of schemed fronts, okay? So what they're doing with schemed fronts, and again, it's just based off alignment, they are designating who they want to get the one-on-one. They understand what you do from a protection count or protection scheme, and they're going to force you to block the way they want to so they can get the one-on-one they want. And it's one thing to say, well, use the center and Quinn and Williams. But Robert Saleh is going to make sure you can't because he knows how protection schemes work. So the Bears are going to be in a situation where they're going to have to win one-on-one up front. When it comes to critical down and distances, when it comes to a two-minute, when it comes to a red zone, that's when they're going to get those loaded or scheme fronts, and they're going to have to win those one-on-ones.
Justin Fields gets a decent amount of passes deflected, like that I've noticed at the line of scrimmage. What is that a product of?
I think it's a couple of things. I think it's how you rush a mobile quarterback first. Okay, you never want to run past the mobile quarterback because you're just opening rush lanes, right? So I think what you're seeing, especially interior guys, is more two-gapping rush, where they're trying to create a push up the field to close those rush lanes, okay? Eliminating room from step up and find an escape door so we can get down the field as a runner. So what you're doing is you're using that two-gap technique, and you're just telling your defensive lineman, when he pulls that arm back to throw, you stay in that rush lane, you stay in his line of vision, and you get your hands up, right? And it's different because if you're rushing a true pocket quarterback, you're going to get up the field as fast as you can, right? You're trying to squeeze that area that he wants to operate in and get people at his feet. Well, here I think you're seeing more guys that are staying in those rush lanes, not preventing him to get out of the pocket. Okay. And then you're saying, now we got him in there.
Uh-huh.
Get those hands up.
Okay. That's Matt, a good answer.
As always, we appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend, man.
All right, guys. Have a great holiday. Go IC, and we'll talk to you next week.
Amen.
You got it right. That is Matt Bowen, our guy.
Really good.
He's got a big matchup this weekend. Williamsville is really good. So that I hope that I'm rooting for IC Catholic because I'm rooting for Matt, and I know that this has been a dream of his. It's good. There's some people who are big mad. Oh, they get to recruit. IC Catholic has 300 kids. There are people literally on the text line right now.
I noticed you're having a little back and forth Lawrence.
It's like Byron beat IC Catholic last year.
Oh.
Like, that says to me that the teams are fairly matched. But they don't have boundaries. I'm a yokel. He's like, you don't know anything about it. I spent 3 years coaching in CPS. I know all about public versus private.
Your anger
know
is
all
good.
About it.
Good, good.
Get a better coach out there, Byron. Yeah, how about that? No, I'm just kidding. Coach Byron knows what he's doing. He knows what he's up against.
I love ball.
Let it out. You know what I want? I knew this was coming.
They get to recruit from Elmhurst.
Oh, my God.
Move! How about that? Move!
How's Lake Park doing? That's all I care about.
But it's unfair! It's so unfair!
This is where it's good, because you're having this back and forth on the text line. Now you got the mic, baby!
It's so unfair! It's so unfair!
Yes!
Our kids run tractors! So unfair! We'll talk with Charge about fantasy football next.
You're awesome. On the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station. Paul Charchian.
Fantasy Football Hall of Famer.
That guy must really know what he's doing.
Chief Execution Officer at GuillotineLeagues.com.
He's appointing himself judge, jury, and executioner.
He's not judge, jury, and executioner.
He is.
Your guide to winning your fantasy football league.
Hurry, hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Charge. Charge.
With Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love Charge. Charge is a good man. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hey, Charge.
Charge. Good to talk to you guys. I think that it's only fair that we start by issuing a Thanksgiving warning to your listeners.
I like warnings. What we got?
You don't mind. All right. You're not Julia Child. You're an actuarial or a plumber or a database engineer who has decided to use the sacred gathering of Thanksgiving to throw caution to the wind and try to make a pumpkin pie. First off, you need to understand, when you buy that can of pumpkin mash or whatever that congealed orange stuff is in a can, you're not even getting pumpkin, you're getting squash. Specifically, it's Dickinson squash, which represents 85% of canned pumpkin, in air quotes. So somebody is going to bring cold squash pie
it's a fraud.
To Thanksgiving.
They're frauds.
They are frauds, exactly. Second, and most importantly, the variation in possible outcomes from you trying this is tremendous. The recipe on the side of the can looks very easy, but done incorrectly, the novice pie maker is going to end up in a culinary catastrophe. You're trying to make a cold squash pie that tastes like anything but a cold squash pie. The result is likely to be runny, soupy, even mealy, disgusting. You know what's great, Mark and Lawrence? Apple pie. Have you ever had a bad apple pie? No, because it's universally adored because there's very little variation in possible outcome. It's always good. A novice baker can make a kick-ass apple pie. That's what you should be bringing to Thanksgiving.
You know what changes everything, though, about the pumpkin pie? It is the Cool Whip. You put enough Cool Whip on the pumpkin pie, and it covers all squash mistakes, Paul.
I suppose. I guess it's a little bit like drowning most things in butter, which I think it's better in butter or
ketchup.
Cheese. Ketchup, yes. But you know what? Just apple pie, baby. Everybody loves apple
pie. Keep it simple.
So look, this is, I'm sure, part of the cultural wars that sometimes go on in America. I personally have no taste for pumpkin because I'm a sweet potato pie guy. And in the community, sweet potatoes is kind of where it's at. You know, if you have the luxury of having an elder that will go and actually peel and boil the sweet potatoes and not get it out of a mixture, which is apparently squash.
Right, squash. Squash.
This show is very unique because between Charch and Futek, we've got pie guys. We got guys that really are pie guys. They're
very passionate. They're
very
about
passionate
pie.
About it.
Absolutely.
Good connoisseurs. And I agree with you. There's nothing wrong with a warm apple pie on Thanksgiving that
banana
sounds
cream.
Delicious.
Come on.
Now. It is delicious. That's
banana
right. Now, the sweet the sweet potato pie is the other thing that you can use where you put enough brown sugar on something.
Oh, brown
sugar. And it's probably going to taste pretty good.
Bears. Spot on.
Bears.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about this. I can't believe it. We might have a Bears game that has Trevor Siemian and Mike White out there quarterbacking. And after last week, you making Justin Fields your number one overall.
Fun's over.
Yeah.
I did it. I did him in. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll take the heat for it.
No, it's not on you, Charge. It's definitely not on you. What in the world do you tell people who have Justin Fields as their QB1 have been riding high on what they can do if they need to find someone on the waiver wire this week?
Yeah, there's actually a couple guys that I do like off the waiver wire that you can probably pick up. Taylor Heineke's got a juicy matchup with a terrible Falcons secondary. Well, you guys saw it recently. Ryan Tannehill's got a nice matchup as well. But we're going to be short a bunch of quarterbacks. It's not just those guys. Sam Darnold's going to make a start. Kyle Allen was just named the starter of the Texans. And your starting quarterbacks for the Rams, your number one and number two, are going to be Bryce Perkins leading into Case Kupis.
What? That's not real.
Those are not real people. I get you off this show right now because you're now just telling us some people
who
aren't
real. I'm
just
making stuff up.
It's crazy.
First, I'm throwing a bunch of squash facts at you, and now this.
It's like a Friday around here, man. Some interesting things with the Buffalo at Detroit game, and maybe even some things people wouldn't expect out of that, right, Charch?
Yes. One of the really big storylines across all of fantasy football, the leading touchdown scorer across the entire NFL is Detroit's running back, Jamal Williams. He's not even their starter, or ostensible starter anyway. That's the amazing thing. And his touchdowns come in clumps. He's got 12 touchdowns. They've come in six games. Buffalo's given up multiple touchdowns to running backs in two of the last three. So they're giving up running back scores in clumps. Maybe that's going to be a situation for him to have another big game in that early game coming up tomorrow. Buffalo's got injuries in their front seven. One of their linemen, Greg Rousseau, is out, and Tremaine Edmonds looks like he's not going to go.
Right.
So yeah, we might get more Jamal Williams. He's been pounding in the rock from inside the five, and that could continue here.
Charge, we haven't talked about it yet, but I'm curious, when did you turn off the Vikings game last week?
Third quarter.
You were out?
I couldn't do it anymore. It was too painful. That was tough. I mean, imagine we're at the highest of highs. At this time last week when we talked, I'm like, I'm still buzzing from the Buffalo game. This is the greatest regular season game that we've ever had. And then we get absolutely spanked at home the next week in one of the most one-sided affairs in memory. And it's horrible. It's very reminiscent of the Minneapolis Miracle 5 years ago. Then the Vikings advanced the NFC Championship game and got destroyed by the Eagles, who then went on to go play their Super Bowl in our stadium. Same, it felt a lot like that. So this is what being a Viking fan is all about.
Well, it leads me to a fantasy / reality question about the Vikings. Statistically, when I look at Kirk Cousins' numbers, the numbers are vastly different for him in noon kickoffs than they are in primetime games, and now even in the 4 o'clock Eastern time window. Mm-hmm. With him going up against the Patriots on Thursday Night Football, where the whole country is going to be watching that game, what's your advice if you have Kirk Cousins on your roster?
I don't like Kirk in this matchup. This is it's a real problem for him. The Vikings offensive line's missing its starting left tackle, and by the way, kid's great. Christian Darrisaw is his name. He's the Pro Football Focus's highest rated left tackle. Without him on the field last week, it was a total disaster. We had the 7 full sacks, but he registered 18 hits in the game. I mean, it's just, horrible game for Kirk Cousins to try to get through. And we're not going to have Christian Darrisaw in this one either. And here comes Matthew Judon. I mean, it's going to be the same thing all over again. And I'm very nervous about their ability, Vikings' ability to get the ball out of his hands fast enough. And the running matchup's terrible too. Patriots are fantastic. Get this. They're 5th in rushing yards. They're 1st in rushing touchdowns allowed as a run defense. And for 3 straight weeks, no opposing runner against the Patriots has topped 30 yards. So
wow. Take a seat.
Yeah. Well, tough to bench him, but I'll tell you, I've got him. Let me tell you where I've got him ranked right now. He's running back 20. So I don't trust him. Normally, Cook is like running back 5. This is it's a huge drop for him behind David Montgomery, among others. Huh? So I'd show caution here. And frankly, the Patriots have easier pathways to points than the Vikings do.
Let's stay on running backs and the Giants at Dallas and Saquon Barkley, who was not Saquon Barkley last week. Well, where do you stand with him this week at Dallas?
Yeah, Mark. I mean, played the Lions last week and put up 30 scoreless yards. Absolute disaster for fantasy purposes, but that's a total outlier. He has scored or topped 110 rushing yards in 8 of 10 games. He's had elite-level consistency, really, until last week. The catch here is Dallas has been a tough spot for him. He averages 60 rushing yards per game throughout his career against Dallas. He has only scored 2 times against Dallas. The catch, maybe Dallas is going to be short some starters. DeMarcus Lawrence might not go. I think Micah Parsons goes. They have 5 defensive starters carrying a questionable tag right now. So that might help a little bit. And Barkley's been great on the season. But, the problem is that They have no threat of anybody else. I mean, who else is that? Where else are the Giants going to lean on? All Dallas has to do is take away Saquon Barkley. You win the game and you go home early on Thanksgiving. That's the that's the problem. Is it's just so easy to stop the Giants by taking away Saquon Barkley.
What do you do with the Bills? Because it's clear that Josh Allen is not quite himself, and they've had the weirdest week.
It has been strange for Josh Allen. He's in the middle of his worst scoring streak in three seasons. He has thrown 0, 1, and 1 touchdown since his elbow injury. And here's a big part of it. They're not letting him run because they're trying to protect that elbow. He had 7 rushing yards last week. That was his lowest amount in 20 games. Now, you guys remember last year, in late November, December, the Bills started saving up Josh Allen by emphasizing Devin Singletary. Down the, you know, in the late parts of the regular season, they may, that elbow injury may have just turned up the dial on that a little bit. And now we're getting a lot of Singletary. We're getting a lot of James Cook now. And it's a good opportunity against the Lions. I mean, I have to tell your listeners, this is not a great defense. If they let him run, over the last 2 weeks, Daniel Jones and Justin Fields combined for 200 rushing yards. So there's a great opportunity here. But I don't know that they're going to let him go. And he's not, Josh Allen is not the automatic 100% lock starter that he normally is. Probably still a safe start because of their playing, but you have to have a little more caution.
Do the Jets have anybody on the fantasy spectrum? Anybody Bears fans need to look out for in that regard, or no?
Yeah, really? No. I'll mention only one thing that fantasy players should know. Their starting running back is now Michael Carter because Breece Hall's what would have been Rookie of the Year campaign, you know, ended early. But the one thing to know about Mike White is dude dumped off to Michael Carter last year. He had like 2.5 games with Michael Carter last year. Dumped off to Michael Carter all the time. So that's the one fantasy angle on that game that you should be aware of. But nobody else much matters. Garrett Wilson is going to have a nice career, but not until they find another quarterback.
Charge, have a wonderful Thanksgiving of football and food, and hopefully no one brings that awful pumpkin pie over to
squash,
your house.
Squash pie.
That's right. Yeah. Cold,
I'm sorry.
Squash
pie. Air quotes, pumpkin pie to your house.
Right. You got it, my man. Back at you. Have a great holiday, my friends. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. That is Paul Charchian, and he talks fantasy football with us. I want to, we've been having a lot of fun. I've been having a ton of fun with the people from the 309.
I see.
Text line.
There is phraseology being used now that is just unbelievable.
Well, so, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
It's pretty believable.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about something that's a little bit more serious as it pertains to Justin Fields and kind of like a bigger picture thing. And luckily, I've got the right man here to do it because he's inside of NFL locker rooms every damn week. Grody and I are going to talk about Justin Fields and his injury, and maybe we're going to hear from Justin Fields before we are done this afternoon at 2 o'clock, because he's scheduled to talk. Mike, when's he talking? 125?
125.
All right, then we will hear from him. We'll also hear from Jared Payton, who's going to join us at 1.
Oh.
But we'll discuss this topic next on The Score.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
M-E-T-H-O-D.
Now, Method of Modern Love?
That, okay. See, this is what I love about working with Grody. Yes, The Method of Modern Love by Blue Eyed Soul is the jumping off point for Method Man. M-E-T-H-O-D, man.
M-E-T-H-O-D.
L-O-V, right, isn't it?
Yeah.
O-F-L-O-V-E.
That's so funny, man. That's... Yeah,
that's
and the Method Man,
from.
Who is my guy now, because I like Matt. I like his sound, man.
I showed Groats the video of Method Man showing up on Sherry Shepherd's show, and how the women didn't stop cheering for 2 minutes.
You know how like you can get somebody in the palm of your hands. He had what are there probably 50 people in the audience or what? I don't know how big those studio.
I bet there was probably 200 people,
couple
in that
hundred,
audience.
And they. We're captive.
Yep. Hey, this is what you're looking for. Like if you're an older man, this is what you're trying to look like him,
dude.
At 50.
Yes,
that's the goal.
Oh, yeah. No, when you can look that good in the turtleneck?
Yeah.
Without I any mean, other...
I don't know if you've seen any of his workouts, but his workouts are amazing.
I hadn't seen Method Man in a long time. Like, he does look great.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's motivation, man. You want to be cheered, man, when you walk out in these streets.
Trying to get back there myself. Not now, though. I'll wait till after Christmas.
I mean, today would be a good day to go for a run, though.
Nah, I got that couch nap coming.
That's also a better choice.
I got a date with my couch before I go see Spiegs become Bruce Springsteen tonight.
Does Dave the Cat know to leave you alone
during naps
when you're sleeping?
No, not at all. No, if Dave the Cat, this is the thing about cats. Cats are very, very, very selfish. And if Dave, what I've learned to do is make sure there's always lots of food in his bowl when I go to sleep at night or if I take a couch nap. Because if he needs food, man, there will be a wake-up call. He will jump up on the couch and he knows to meow really loudly in my ear. But the worst is when there's food in his bowl and he just wakes me up for the hell of it because he wants to be entertained. Because when cats have weird sleeping schedule, but when Dave is up and I'm there, I'm present, he expects me to be very entertaining and very active with him and playing all the games that he likes to play.
My neighbor's calico has not made it back to my patio lately that I've noticed.
Okay.
But
it makes me happy because it makes me think he's back with his owners.
Right, with his owners and being taken care of.
Yes, that's important.
That makes me feel a lot better.
Good. I think it's time for you to take that step, Lawrence, to the pet step. Change my life.
I don't think that I could do it, not because I'm not filled with love.
Yeah, I know.
It's because the time. I don't think that I could give the time that a pet deserves.
Cats are different. I know if you're not a cat guy, you're not a cat guy.
I mean,
cats are different, though.
I would probably, if I were going to get a pet, I'd get a dog.
Okay, yeah, and dogs are awesome, too. Just because I have a cat, but I am the person. I live in a high-rise. If there is a dog on the elevator, I always ask the person, may I pet your dog?
It's a good way to do it.
And that's all I mean when I say that.
And I figured out, because I have friends who have cute little dogs, that I'm the guy with the cute little dog. Like, if I was going to get a dog.
Yeah, something manageable.
It like, you know, like one of those ones that, like, fit in your hand.
Yeah, a little appetizer.
That's what I would do.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, those are much more, man. I prefer large dogs. Like, I just think large dogs are cooler in general. But I do see the convenience of the small dog. And I see them all in my neighborhood. I'm sure you see them all in your neighborhood.
I do. And I think I like dogs that have, like, human eyes.
Interesting.
That's what
like
I found.
Like the wolf dogs, maybe? Like the blue eyes?
No, not those. Those dogs will kill you.
you don't like dogs, the danger of dogs.
No. I mean, I appreciate the big dogs, and I see the guys that are, and the women that are being, like, dragged by the big dogs.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
it's hilarious. The street. It's adorable when that happens.
Give me a little, you know,
yeah,
a little Yorkie.
You want manageable. Okay.
Give me a little Yorkie, a Marapu. We'll hang out and, like, look at each other and say stuff.
Yes.
One of those.
Yes, and they are a, you know, you get, like, I watch dog people and dog people. What makes me mad is when there's two dogs coming together and one owner is willing to let their dog play with the other, but the other isn't. It breaks my heart for the dog.
Yeah.
And right, because the dog just wants to play and the other person is just ignorant. Like, they got other stuff going on. They're on their phone or whatever. No, I don't have time to stop with my dog to play with you. That upsets me.
Man, 2 weeks ago, my neighbor lost her dog. So she's been in a panic about it.
Oh, my God. My heart just skipped a beat.
Yeah. Wow. She put out flyers. And there's, like, a picture of the dog. And I'm like, what are the flyers going to do? Like, in my mind, I'm like, you know, she's been leaving the door open. So the dog makes its way back.
Okay.
And so I'm out there. I was taking a walk. It was one of those nights where it was really nice. It was probably, like, 60 degrees. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go get some cookies and walk and take a walk over to Insomnia Cookies on 55th.
Delish.
And I thought I saw the dog. And I was like, ah!
Yeah, this is your chance to be a hero.
I really, like, I literally ran from where I was, and this is like 4 or 5 blocks.
Oh, wow.
To my neighbor's house. I took a picture, and I was like, I was like, this is your dog? Like, I texted the picture. It wasn't.
So she hasn't found the dog. She hasn't found the dog.
No,
she
hasn't.
That's awful.
It's really sad.
Yeah,
it's really. And I was like, oh man, I was trying to be a hero.
Man,
and then I was like, I probably scared the hell out of that dog. Like that wasn't even coming back. I was calling the dog the wrong name, and the dog was just looking at me like, "What you want? Like, what do you want, Mr. Man?"
Yeah. Unfortunately, I guess this is a good thing that having a pet, it changes you completely the way you feel. Like I always say, like, I am at high risk right now for becoming a vegetarian. Like, it changes, like, the way you think really? About animals. Like, it goes deep. Like, all the stuff I didn't understand about dog owners and, like, and cat, whatever. Like, I get it. I understand. I understand that connection now that people have with pets, having had a cat that I live with for the last 5 years. It, like, complete. Like, I don't even like it necessarily. I don't like when I start to think about, you know, not eating meat. Like, I don't think it'll happen. I'm at high risk for not eating meat. I don't like that.
I don't think that'll ever happen. The cool thing is that I have access to dogs. So, like, yes. If I need some dog therapy, uh-huh. and I have found that it actually does help me. Like, I've got friends that have cute dogs. Yes. I'll be like, can I just come over and play with a dog?
I had an incident when I was a young man, like really young.
You bit the dog?
Oh, no. The dog was looking to take a bite out of me.
Oh, gotcha.
Here comes the 0-1 delivery. That one's low for a ball, 1-1 to Contreras.
That'll get you not wanting dogs
around
the
house. It scarred me for a very long time. I think I was in first grade. School bus had dropped me off, and all I had to do was cross the street. Because my mom was waiting on the other side.
Big dog? Or big Chihuahua?
No, German Shepherd. If it was a Chihuahua, I think I would have recovered. But yeah, big German Shepherd. Here comes the 1-1. This one's low and inside. 2-1 now to Contreras. And, you know, you can hear the footsteps, followed by the growling and the barking. And I panicked. You know, they say, just stand still. But, you know, you're a first grader. You're not thinking that way. Jumped on the hood of a car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Dog tried to hop on the hood. It was not pretty. Here comes the 2-1.
That's terrifying.
Is Zach saying that he hit the dog with a bat?
That's terrifying. I mean,
look,
German Shepherd?
Groats, it's part of my thing. It's part of my thing, especially with big dogs. Like, shout out to Sarah Spain. She just, like, ended her run at ESPN Radio this week. I was at a party at her house about a year and a half ago. She's got beautiful dogs, and I think one of them, maybe more, are pit bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, threw me off, you know? And her husband, shout out to Billionaire Brad. He's not actually a billionaire, though everyone thinks he is. So we just call him that.
But he hates that.
He had said, because Sarah was like, why don't you get down with dogs? And I'm like, because I used to get chased by dogs.
I do understand
like
that.
Like, legit, in Roseland, like, dogs were for protection. They weren't for cuddling and loving up and carrying them around.
You got
Randy,
a Doberman
you know what
pincher.
I'm talking about?
Doberman
yeah,
pincher
I'm from Roseland. That's what it's about over there. So, yeah. You see a dog out there.
Where's those leash laws?
No, there ain't no leash laws
there's
in
no
Roseland.
Leash laws.
So, you know, it's hard for me to be like, my dog is sweet, especially when your dog is 90 pounds.
Okay.
And it's, like, coming at me.
I get
now,
that.
Now, Sarah's dogs are sweet. They are.
Yeah, pit bulls are really sweet dogs.
And people treat pit bulls badly.
I hate it. And I used to kind of be able to, why would pit bull? Like, this renaissance that I have had with animals in general, like, now, like, pit bulls, like, I want to, like, apologize to pit bulls.
Yeah. I feel bad. And people, you know, if you go love on a pit bull and they are outstanding. Mm. But I had to get over that. Like, I had to get over, like, the literally dogs used to chase me when I was a kid.
Okay. I mean, I didn't know that. So that changes everything. I get it. Like, that's trauma.
It's 100%.
Yeah. That story Zach just told?
That's 100%
terrifying.
Trauma.
Like, if he hates dogs to this day, I get it.
But
I get it.
But now I've had such really good experiences with awesome dogs. Yeah. And I'm like, if I had more time, I could have a dog. I would be a guy with one of those cute little dogs.
That's cool. Like, somebody,
I'd be walking around, and me and that cute little dog would be best friends.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. They'd be besties.
We'd be besties.
Yeah, no, they.
We didn't even get into, like, the serious topic that I wanted to do.
I know.
I'll save it for another time. Jarrett Payton is going to join us. We'll talk with him about the Bears and Justin Fields next year on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.